You're listening to Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders podcast network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, what is going on? Eddie Pascal and Engineer Jim back. Spoiler alert, before we even get rolling, I can confirm that we are back in the building. We are back at the facility. And this facility is so new to us. It's still so shiny and exciting. I don't even know what the address is. Like, I used to say, oh, you know, back in the olden days, for those of you who've been riding with us for a while, I'd be like, back in the Beat Lab at 1220 Harbor Bay Parkway. I don't even know what the address to this place is. If I had to pick mail up here, I wouldn't know how to get in, you know, put the MapQuest in or whatever. But we're here. We're excited. We are fired up. And thank you for joining us for another episode of Upon Further Review, brought to you by the good folks at Coors Light. And guys, I'm excited because we're in the building. The energy here is incredible. The building, like I said, is gorgeous, and I cannot wait for all of you to get a chance to come down here when everything is safe and just bask in its majesty. So I'm excited about that. I really am. But I'm not excited for two reasons today. Reason number one, my partner in crime, the great Kyle Cannon Booby Cartwright Martin, unable to join us again. You heard from him last night, which was a very pleasant surprise, but he is back on assignment. What that assignment is, he has not really told any of us, but he's on assignment, so you're stuck with me again for the next, I don't know, let's call it 20, 25 minutes. Another thing that I'm not overly enthused about, but I'm going to end on a positive note. I'm going to do my best. The one thing that I'm not overly enthused about, but we are going to get to a place where we're feeling good, guys, we have to talk about the Raiders' defense. Now, last week when we did this show, we talked about the offense. And by and large, it was a pretty positive conversation. We were excited about the future of this offense. We looked at the offense in 2020 objectively, statistically, whatever metric you want to use, a top 10 offense. So we felt good. Now, we had some questions headed into 2021 naturally. We had some things that were on our mind. But by and large, we felt pretty good about what we saw. Now, there was certainly room for improvement, no doubt about that. When you're an 8-8 team and you're left out of the playoffs, there is 100% room to get better. But today, we strike a more somber tone. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we know what the Raiders' defense was like in 2020. And frankly, it was not good enough. There were moments throughout this season, and it breaks my heart because there were more moments than you and I would like. But there were a lot of moments where we just were left kind of scratching our head, like, how is this happening? How is this possible? Because when we looked at the talent coming into the season, we knew there was going to be a bit of a learning curve because by and large, this defense was a young group. They were guys that were still trying to figure their way out in the NFL. They were guys that were on the upswing. And really, I think that this defense is on the upswing, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But we felt like, all right, there's going to be time where they're going to get their feet under them, but then it's going to click. And we got to figure out a way to keep the ship afloat until it clicks. And unfortunately, it didn't click in 2020. And we saw moments, we saw glimpses of what it could be in 2020. We saw quarters, we saw halves, we saw drives, but we never saw from week 1 to week 17. We never saw a complete, full 60-minute effort. And it was a bummer, man, and it bummed us out. Because you look back at the season, and yes, the season ended in a suboptimal way. Not great. But you look back at it, and you're like, all right, 8-8, certainly not the goal. Let's not sugarcoat that. Certainly not the goal. But an improvement over 2019. And you got to feel like, all right, you're a few plays away. Granted, some pretty big plays, but you're a few plays away from being 9-7, 10-6. Dare I even say 11-5. But you felt like you were just a few plays away from really, really, really being in contention. Well, I mean, let's be fair. They were in contention most of the season, the Raiders, statistically speaking, in terms of the playoffs. But really being in there. And really getting a chance to show who you could be last year. And, you know, right or wrong, and we'll talk about this as we go throughout the evening, I should say, because one thing doesn't change, guys. You know, we've been back at the, we were at the Raider Nation Radio Studios the past two and a half months, whatever it was. And we would always record at night. And I always, it was kind of a running bit between Kyle and I where I like to go to bed early. I'm an early riser, but I got to go to bed early. And I was like, we're pushing my bedtime. So one thing I promise you will not change. Well, at least this week, it'll change next week. But to keep us transitioning into this new normal for us, we're recording at night. So it's actually kind of eerie in a cool way where I'm sitting here in our brand new beautiful audio studio, our podcast room. Our friend Alexander's behind the glass, unfortunately listening to me ramble and ramble. But there's really no one else here. We got security and all those types of folks making sure everything's on the up and up. Shout out Security Bob one time. But it's really just us in this colossal castle of a facility. So it's kind of cool, kind of funky. But like I said, we'll hopefully be going back to normal time sooner than later. But when you look at this defense now, there's things that have to get better. There are things that absolutely must be better in 2021 if this team is going to make any noise. And as we talked about last week, the offense, you feel good about it. You trust John Gruden, you trust his staff, you trust Derek Carr and Josh Jacobs and that big offensive line. And yeah, there's questions that are going to come up in between now and the start of the regular season, but you trust that they're going to get worked out and they're going to be ready to rock. Defensively, we have questions. And now the man tasked with answering, perhaps not all, but most of those questions will be new defensive coordinator Gus Bradley. And Gus was introduced, as we record this on a Wednesday night, was introduced on Tuesday. Yeah, he was introduced yesterday. And he is going to be the guy that is going to have to figure out a way to make this work. Philosophically, personnel-wise, and I'm not saying that he's going to have control over the personnel and defense, but you guys get what I'm saying. Whoever Mayock and Gruden deliver to him, he's going to have to figure out a way to get the most out of those guys. But one of the biggest questions, and it's one of the immediate questions, because we're going to have a lot of questions in between now and week one, but the most immediate question, the question that's at the top of mind right now, what do you do with your free agents? So here's the list of guys that are going to be unrestricted free agents when the league year starts in, gosh, was it end of March, something like that. And I'll begin, and you guys know I love alphabetical order so much, so we're just going to begin with the B's. So once again, the list of upcoming free agents for your 2021 Las Vegas Raiders. Vic Beasley, Malik Collins, Jonathan Hankins, Eric Harris, Nevin Lawson, Tack McKinley, Raekwon McMillan, Nicholas Morrow, Chris Smith, Kyle Wilbur, and Daryl Worley. And the team also has two exclusive rights free agents. That would be Dallin Leavitt and Kendall Vickers. So they technically fall in a different tier than the guys at the top of that list. And so that's a big list. You know, it's, I think it's 11 and 2, call it 13 guys on that list. And it's a big number, but it's not a number that is anything out of the ordinary in the NFL. If there's one constant in the NFL, especially this time of the year, it's roster turnover. That's just the way of the world. That's the way the contracts are done. That's just the way of the 2021 NFL is the roster is always changing. It is always evolving. It is a living, breathing organism. And so you have guys like Mike Mayock who make their money on trying to manipulate that roster and put together the best roster they possibly can headed into week one. And so the question for me now is if you say, Eddie, who are you bringing back from that list next season? And I'm looking at the list, and there's 3, 4, maybe 5 guys that at first glance I'm saying, hey, let's bring him back. If the value is right, I like what he adds to this team. But if you say you only get one, the guy that I'm going to go with, and it might be surprising to some of you, but for those of you who really watch this team, who ride with us from week 1 to week 17, good, bad, ugly, somewhere in between, everything in between, I should say, it won't surprise you. So the guy that I'm going to go with as one guy that I would love to see back in silver and black in 2021 and hopefully beyond is linebacker Nicholas Morrow. Nicholas, an undrafted guy way back when. Gosh, was it 3 years ago, 4 years ago? To be fair, what is time in this COVID reality that we're living in? But a guy who's just gotten better and better and better. Guy who started primarily as a special teams guy, then works his way into defensive rotation. And really, there is an argument that you could make, and I think it would be a convincing argument, that says Nicholas Morrow was the best linebacker on the 2020 Raiders. all due respect to Corey Littleton, who likely has more talent, more natural ability, and he's a big-time free agent that we brought in last offseason. No disrespect to him, but I think from week 1 to week 17, Nicholas Morrow was the best linebacker on this team. And I was talking to our friend Jesse Merrick from News 3LV out here a few weeks ago. I was talking to him about Nicholas, and I said that, look, guys like Nicholas Morrow might not be the flashiest guys, right? They aren't going to have 10 sacks and lead the team in tackles and yada, yada, yada. They're going to put up good, solid numbers. But what they do, and I think the value in having guys like Nick Morrow on the roster, I compared him, and for those of you who have been a fan of this team for a while will remember this name. He reminds me, and I'm just saying in this scenario, obviously, the guy that I'm bringing up is not a linebacker. But he reminds me of Denico Autry. And those of you who remember Denico, who was a defensive lineman here a few years back. And Denico never put up huge numbers. He never put up overly flashy double-digit sacks, and he was a beast, and he was doing this, and he was doing that. But he was a guy that made the entire defensive line better. And he left, and he went to Indianapolis, and you look at him now, and you look at that defensive line, and he made that defensive line better. And I think of Nick Morrow very much in the same way, where he's not the flashiest player. He's not going to be your, you know, absolute stud in the middle of the field that, you know, is going to direct traffic and do this and that. But he is a really good football player, and any defense that he is going to be on, I think, is better. He is a net positive. And I don't think that you see too many of those guys, believe it or not, hit free agency. I think you see your big-ticket free agent guys, obviously, and you're like, yes, bring, I'm just trying to think of an example here, Calais Campbell, right? Net positive guy, stud, monster. Any defensive line on, he's better. So you have the Calais Campbells of the world. You have the, I'm trying to think, someone on the offensive side of the football. You know, if, thinking, blanking. DeAndre Hopkins, right? If he were to ever hit free agency, you can objectively say any team that DeAndre Hopkins is better than if he's not there. So there's guys like that. There's the top tier creme de la creme, you know, 1% ultra elite guy. You're 99s in Madden, right? But then after that, when you look at free agency, and a wise man once told me that most of the time, the players that get to free agency go to free agency for a reason, because their initial team didn't see the value, whether that was monetarily, whether that was on the field, off the field, whatever it was, in keeping them around. So you have to keep that in mind when you see all these big, splashy free agents, you know, getting signed. Oh, they paid X amount of money to so-and-so from the Chargers, and they're bringing him in 3 years, whatever. My point is this. Nicholas Morrow is a good football player. And what we saw from this Raiders defense in 2020, we need as many good football players as we can possibly get. So that said, I really hope Nick is coming back in 2021. I hope a lot of these guys come back. But the game was pick one, Eddie. So if I'm picking one, I'm picking Nicholas Morrow. But if we go back to 2020, if we look at the season in totality, and we had the same conversation about the offense last week. And as I said, guys, it was a much more positive conversation last week. We were feeling good. We were feeling strong. So I asked the same question again. When you look at the defense, did it overperform? Did it underperform? Or did it kind of meet expectations of what we thought it was going to be in 2020? And as much as it breaks my heart, guys, this one's pretty easy. The defense underperformed. It underperformed in a big way. And as I said, we saw glimpses, right? So we saw a half, or we saw a series, or we saw a quarter of really, really good defense. But we just didn't see the consistency. And to be fair, that is a big reason why Gus Bradley is now the defensive coordinator for the Las Vegas Raiders and not Paul Gunther. Gus is going to have to figure out a way to get the most out of his guys, and he's going to have to figure out a way to get the most out of them snap after snap after snap. Because I'll be honest, I enjoyed watching this Raiders defense when they were on for a quarter. You know, you look at that second half against the Chiefs. That was, I mean, look, no disrespect to anyone on this defense. That was the best half of football I think we saw from them this year. And they essentially shut down Patrick Mahomes. Just listen to that again. They shut down Patrick Mahomes, the Pat Daddy himself, the champion, the guy who's still going for his second Super Bowl now. He's going to play on, what is it, Saturday, Sunday? Who knows? This defense shut him down. But unfortunately, the momentum was not able to carry over. We did not see that for the rest of 2020. We saw bits and pieces of it, but we didn't see it for a full 60 minutes. And it was disappointing. It was really, really disappointing because it teased us. The Raiders defense teased us in 2020, where they showed us, hey guys, this is what we can be, but we're not going to show you it all the time. And the frustration was there. And, you know, the obvious one was the inability to stop the big play. And I don't need to go down that dark spiral for you guys on a beautiful January day whenever this comes out. We know the issues they had, especially in end-of-game situations, giving up big, colossal plays that ultimately ended in L's for the silver and black. It wasn't good. It was not good. The pass rush, once again, unfortunately, was a little too inconsistent, I think, for everyone's liking. Now, I think there were some incredible individual performances. I mean, I think that, look, I know the stats weren't as glamorous for Max Crosby this year as they were when he was a rookie. I still think Max had a really nice season. I really do. The amount of attention that he got from the offensive line this year, the amount of attention he got from offensive coordinators, knowing that, hey, this guy he's a stud. We're going to have to take Max out of the game, and he still was able to do what he was able to do. I think Max is a net positive. I'm not concerned about Max Crosby. I'd like to see us get Max a little help over the next couple months so he doesn't have to feel like he has to shoulder that entire load coming off the edge. But I like Max Crosby. I like him a lot. And there were reasons for the inconsistencies in 2020. There were. And I was talking to Kirk Morrison earlier today, and we were talking about, among other things, the state of the defense and really kind of where things kind of fell short. How do we get better? And he told me, he goes, look, I don't like the term excuses. He goes, I don't like to use that term. I prefer to use the term reasons. And that kind of stuck with me because Coach Gruden oftentimes would say throughout this year, he goes, I'm not here to make excuses. And I really did feel like he did a good job of not doing that. What he did was just laid out the facts. And Kyle and I have talked about this a bunch, where at some point, as much as you want to be a fan, you have to live in a world of reality. As my dad would say, you have to live in a world of what's so. Shout out Matt Walks, because I know he loves when I drop that line. You have to live in a world of what's so. And the reality for the 2020 Raiders defense is they dealt with a lot. The COVID issues, the injuries. It seemed like every other day, this guy's up, this guy's down. I hope we've lost him for 3 weeks. And that doesn't make the Raiders special. It doesn't. Because every team in the NFL dealt with their fair share of injuries this year. Every team dealt with COVID. The entire world dealt with COVID. But that is just the reality of where the Raiders were. They had to deal with this. They were given this set of parameters, whatever you want to call it. And to not take that into account with what we saw in terms of what we saw on Sundays, I think does everyone a disservice. And now yes, there are things that we could improve, you know, just the fundamental stuff like improving the tackling. And to be fair, I really think the tackling improved over those final 3 weeks when Rod Marinelli took the helm in the interim on an interim status. I thought the energy was really good. I thought the passion to getting the football for the gang tackling, for the excitement for the game, it was good. I liked what I saw. And I know the results were not there, but I really did feel like we took a little step forward. And granted, it was not a giant leap, but it was a good step forward. So we have questions still. We have two questions. Or two questions. Jeez, we have a lot more than two questions. We have questions. But I told you guys I would try to bring this positive, and here I go. I feel good about where we're at for numerous reasons. I like Gus Bradley. I think Gus Bradley, 10 out of 10 higher, home run higher, grand slam higher, insert sports cliche higher here. Good. I like that. I think he's going to infuse a nice energy into this team. He is just, you know, in our very brief time hearing from Coach Bradley, an abundantly positive guy, a high-energy guy. And I think that's what you need in defensive coordinator. You need someone to rally the troops. You need someone who's ready to go run through a wall for you. And I think that's going to be Gus Bradley in 2021. But another reason that I'm really excited about the future of this offense, or excuse me, well, I am excited about the offense, but the future of this defense, is it seems now there is a sense of ownership on this defense. And I say that, and I'm going to bring up Corey Littleton for just a second. Corey Littleton, much like this defense in general, just had kind of a bummer year, a down year, a year that he didn't want, a year that he knows he could have been better. And just a few weeks ago, technically 10 days ago, 11 days ago, whatever it is, in the final media availability of the season, Corey Littleton spoke. And he didn't have to talk. He didn't. There was no one saying, hey, Corey Littleton, you're going to get fined or fired if you don't talk today. But he took questions, and he was incredibly honest about his 2020. He said it was miserable. He said it was a disappointment to him. It was a disappointment to the defense as a whole. It wasn't who he knows he can be. But he owned it. And you don't see that a lot in the NFL these days. You don't see guys just say, look, this one was on me. This wasn't my year. Next year I'm going to be better, but look, this wasn't my year. And credit to Corey Littleton for doing that. An absolute credit to Corey Littleton for standing up there, taking the questions, and being honest. And I feel like that sentiment just kind of encapsulates the Raiders' defense now. Where these guys aren't dumb. They understand. They have cell phones. They watch SportsCenter. They know the narrative surrounding them going into next year. And they're motivated. They're ready to get it right. And they're ready to show that what we saw in 2020, that's not us. We can be better and we will be better. Now, they're going to need some help along the way. I think we're going to need to add some pieces to this defense, and we'll talk about that as we get closer and closer to the draft and free agency and all that. But I don't think we are as far away as some folks think. And I'm excited and I'm feeling good. And now it's just a matter of getting Gus Bradley in the building, getting him to kind of take full stock of what he has at his disposal, adding some pieces in the draft, supplementing those pieces in free agency, and letting it ride in 2021. Hopefully we have a full offseason program, or as close to full as is, humanly possible, given all our safety precautions and things of that nature. We have a more normal training camp. We have a preseason. And we're going to get to see a better version of the Raiders defense in 2021 than we did this year. And look at that. We ended positive. We started in the darkness, and we ended up high. Well, not overly high, because there's still things that, as I said, got to get better and things that have to improve. But we feel better than we started, and I hope that you guys feel better than when we started this segment. So we're going to wrap it up in just a few minutes. We're going to do our playoff picks. We're going to crack a few ice-cold Coors Lights. Well, actually, because KMM's not here, we're going to only crack one ice-cold Coors Light. But nonetheless, a Coors Light will be cracked, I promise you that. But before we do, it's time to hear a quick message from our friends at Allegiant.
Touchdown, Las Vegas.
Since starting Allegiant some 20 years ago, we've flown more than 100 million people to be with those they love. We're pilots, flight attendants, and technicians, but we're also parents, spouses, and neighbors. And just like you, we're excited to reconnect with the people and places that matter most. That's why we're going the distance for health and safety, on the ground and in the air. Because the further we go now, the safer it'll be to go farther tomorrow. Allegiant, the official airline of the Las Vegas Raiders. Low fares, nonstop flights, only at Allegiant.com.
And a big shout out to our friends at Allegiant. So as promised, we're going to just go through our playoff picks real quick, crack an ice cold Coors Light, and hit the dusty trail. So if I look back to my picks last week, I believe I only missed one. I missed that Ravens-Titans game. I had the Titans. I felt good about the pick. And didn't turn out for old Eddie. Lamar Jackson had other plans. So, hey, live to fight another day. And if memory serves, I think Kyle only missed a single pick as well. So for those of you keeping track at home, I think that technically makes us tied. I'll have to go double check the tape, what we were talking about. But pretty sure we're tied in terms of our playoff pick extravaganza. So the picks continue just as the games continue. So let us begin with Rams-Packers on Saturday afternoon. I'm going to go with the Pack. Aaron Rodgers is feeling good. He's feeling all right. The ageless wonder, the angry wonder. I love rage Aaron Rodgers. He's so angry at all times, really for no reason. Well, I wouldn't say no reason. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and he just looks so annoyed, all the time. Chill out, A-Rod. You're going to be fine, brother. Rolling with the Pack. Next game, probably the game. Well, they're all really good games, but going with the next game, Bills-Ravens. Going with the Bills. Going with the Bills. I think it's going to be a really, really good game, but I think Josh Allen is just tough to stop right now. That Ravens team is improving. You can make an argument that they're the hottest team in the NFL right now, the team that nobody wants to play, but I still like the Bills at home. So shout out to Josh Allen, and shout out to my neighbor Marlene, who's been flying her Bills Mafia flag for the past two and a half weeks. We'll allow it, just this once. Going Bills. Moving on to Sunday, we got Browns Chiefs. Easy pick for me. Never picking the Chiefs. Go Browns. Go Baker. Complete the revolution. And last but not least, your Sunday. Well, I guess technically it's primetime for those of you on the East Coast. Your Sunday game, Bucks Saints. Touchdown Tom, Drew Brees. The two OGs dueling it out. It's a tough one. This is a tough one. Oh, boy. I'm going to go Saints. I'm going to go Saints. I might regret it on Sunday. There's a large chance that I will regret it on Sunday, but I'm going to do it. Go Saints. We got some homies that work for the Saints, so I'm rooting for them, pulling for them. So, yeah, let's roll with the Saints. I will get Kyle's picks when he returns at some point. And if he doesn't return, I'll just have him to text them to me, and we'll keep track of the tallies over the next couple weeks. So on that note, it's time to crack an ice-cold Coors Light and get on out of here because it's almost bedtime for Eddie. So, as I said, we are back in the building. It feels good to be back in the building. As I said, the energy is good. We're excited. We're fired up. We're home. Ah, feels good. So on that note, I am going to crack a cold one. I'm going to crack a cold one, actually. For all the folks out there, whether you are a doctor, a nurse, nurse practitioner, if you're on the if you're a delivery driver of some capacity, but I'm going to crack a cold one for all the folks that are getting the vaccine distributed, administered, all that jazz. Because it feels good to know that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. My mom works in a rehabilitation center back in California. She got her first dose of the vaccine, about a week ago, week and a half. It was right about when I think it was the day after the season wrapped up, actually, so maybe a week and a half ago. But she got her first dose. She's very excited. And I think that it provides us a much-needed sense of optimism. We need it. It has been a really, really tough year for everyone. And if it hasn't been a tough year for you, you're lying. It has been a tough year for everyone on the globe. And the fact that we have this vaccine now, that it's being administered, like I said, it feels like there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Ugh, it warms my heart. So a big shout out to all you guys and gals out there who are involved in any capacity in getting shots into people's arms. Because, like I said, I cannot wait. And it just gives you that hope that we're going to get back to normal at some point. It might not be today. It might not be tomorrow. Heck, it might not even be next month or 2 months from now. But we will get back to normal. And it brings a smile to my heart and it lifts my spirit. So on that note, for Eddie Pascal, Engineer Jim, KMM, who, as I said, is on assignment, our friend Alexandra behind the glass on the ones and twos making me sound better than I do in real life, and everyone at Silver and Black Productions who helps get our little program from A to Z, we thank you deeply, humbly, and oh so sincerely. And we will see you next, guys, same time, same place, for our weekly episode of Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network.